Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today's topic is an ongoing series for our mindset podcasts, and we're talking about overcoming stress, and we've talked about worry and hurry, and today we're going to talk about social media. So I kind of ruined the rhythm of the rhyming. So worry, hurry, social media. So, but social media is a cause of stress in today's culture for some people, and actually probably for a lot of people. It's kind of interesting that as the world progresses and the world develops and we kind of create new things in the world, that brings with it new problems, new concerns. And I think what's interesting is that today's generation, and I think I have an older brother, he's 2 years older than me, and I think we were kind of at the top end of the range of ages where this is the first kind of generation that has had to learn how to navigate and manage social media and what the effects of that is in positive and negative towards our lives. So I remember when I was, I think 16 is when we got dial-up internet at our house. And some of you are going to be laughing that I just mentioned dial-up internet. Some of you have no clue what the hell that is. But it was basically a really slow, ridiculously slow form of internet. And if anybody called the house and somebody picked up the phone, it screwed everything up, and you got really mad. And there was this crazy long noise thing about when you try to connect onto the internet, you get this noise of like beep, 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 as the computer would try to connect. So for those of you who are old enough to remember that, enjoy the laughter of all this. For those of you who are younger, you're like, what the hell is this old dude talking about? Hold on, don't leave yet. We're going to get into the good stuff. But it is interesting that it's a new phenomena, relatively new, like a generation or two old. So there's less data on how to manage it, how to manage it well in regards to the negative impacts it can have in our life. So I wanted to talk a little bit about some of like things I've read and heard and things I've talked about like clients with. So I haven't had much of like a personal experience with social media issues. There are times where like I'll see somebody in business maybe doing really awesome, and I'm like, damn, they just opened their business like 3 years ago, and you know, they have twice as many followers, or you know, it looks like they're doing twice as good, you know. So sometimes you'll have that effect where you see something and like you think you're fine, then all of a sudden you see this thing and you're like, ah shit, you know, like maybe I'm not as good as I thought. And we all have that effect, and that is something like I've kind of felt personally, and something I'm kind of like worked through. But let's talk a little bit about it. We want to talk about feeling inadequate and feeling jealous and that whole aspect around social media, and then also the time management factor. Are we wasting time on social media? And that can happen a lot. So let's first look at feeling inadequate and jealousy. So envy, all those terms. And basically what social media has done is we are now more aware of who's like bigger, faster, stronger, who's leaner, who has a better butt, who has flatter abs, who has fancier cars, who has big houses. We're kind of more aware of if there's a thing that we want, or we're kind of looking at ourselves compared to others. Social media has opened up that comparison range. So rather than just being comparing at, like, your local high school, so if we think of like our parents' generation, and it doesn't matter how old you are, just think of your parents' generation, they would have had access to less people than you do. So their comparisons might have been a lot smaller, and the fact that their comparisons were smaller means they're not going to see as much variance as we would nowadays. And when they do see somebody being, like say they saw somebody who had, you know, was bigger, faster, stronger, had a better butt, was leaner, flatter abs, fancier car, big house, all that stuff. So if they had all that stuff, there might only be one or two people that you knew. So you know, you're like, you think to yourself, eh, you know, it's one or two, I'm not that bad. Whereas now on social media, it's 1 or 2 million. And you're like, oh my God. So so I think of it like I laugh in the sense of like in my training, last couple of years I've been doing strength-based training and doing powerlifting. And when I first ever started kind of like lifting. It took me 2 years. So by the time I was 18, I started lifting weights when I was 16. By the time I was 18, I absolutely could not squat 315 pounds to parallel. I'd barely be able to put that on my back and bend my knees. So actual, like truly parallel squat might have been somewhere between 225 and 275. So from there, I've built my squat up to 600 pounds in sleeves. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty awesome. You know, I'm pretty happy about that. Like, freaking doubled my squat max since I was 18 years old. But you get on Instagram, and there's almost not even, like, 600 isn't even, like, worthy of being on Instagram. So there's people squatting 700 for reps, then people squatting, like, 800, 900, even 1,000. And so, like, my lifetime accomplishment so far isn't even a blip on the radar. Doesn't even make a video. So if somebody made a video about a 600-pound squat, people would be like, well, okay, like, whoop-de-doo. So my entire life's work has led up to whoop-de-doo. So that could be the downside of social media, is if I were to let that be, like, more of an effect on me and say, like, oh, man, you know, 600 pounds is nothing compared to what these other people can do. That, in a sense, would be saying the effort and the work and the knowledge that I've gained and everything I've put into that 600 pounds would be, quote-unquote, worth nothing. And it absolutely isn't. So I'm extremely proud of how far I've come. I'm going to come even further than that, so I'm going to get even more. And in my journey, I've learned an enormous amount that I've been able to use to help other people. So that's the biggest thing to me, is the amazing part of kind of taking that developed knowledge and making a positive difference in other people's lives. So I wouldn't trade my journey at all. If somebody said, okay, you have to trade the journey it took you to get to 600, or we're just going to make you an 800-pound squatter. So you don't have all the lessons learned. You didn't put in all the hard work. You just got given an 800-pound squat. I wouldn't want it. And I truly 100% mean that. So now maybe if I got the 800-pound squat and I got to develop it to 1,000. So, but if they said 800 is what you get, but it's the best you'll ever have, I don't want that. I gained so much mental, emotional strength in my journey to 600 that I would never trade that at all. And that's personal benefit. And then the knowledge I've gotten from my journey. Like, I've torn 16 muscles, torn 7 ligaments, broken bones while lifting weights, and I still got to a freaking 600-pound squat. So I've detached a hamstring, torn my hamstrings, torn both my quads, torn a groin muscle, torn my lower back. So those were all collectively just things when I was younger and I didn't know any better, and or feeling dehydrated. So I've done a podcast in the past about why my injuries had accumulated over the years. So I've been lifting weights for 19 years, so I've come across some injuries over the years, and especially when I was younger and I trained just out of, like, madness towards hating my body, I wanted to make such a hard change and difference. Like, I would do exercises until something tore. And that was a little insane and definitely not a good, healthy place to be mentally. But through that journey, I've learned so much that I can help other people now. And, like, that's what I would never trade. So that's what we have to learn to do, is we have to learn to kind of find value, like, what's, compare the values. So if we look at this, by being more aware of what others have and we don't have, it can lead to us kind of overvaluing what they have and undervaluing what we have. So I would overvalue an 800-pound squat and undervalue the journey that I gained through my 600-pound squat. And we all have this. So if you think about, if you've been putting in a lot of work towards your body, so you've trained really hard and you've kind of changed your body over the years, don't undervalue the journey that you've put in, the effort you've put into your body, just because somebody else has, you know, quote unquote, a better butt or leaner abs, or they have a shape or a muscle that you want that you don't have yet. Doesn't mean you can't have it, you just don't have it yet. So I've known a lot of females, for example, that they've worked through eating disorders. And they kind of took control of their life. They developed a body that they were more content with through learning how to have a healthier mindset and healthier relationship with food. And that's a journey that's going to help carry them for the rest of their life. Now, if they look at this other person and you're like, oh, that person, you know, has flatter abs, or they have nicer thighs, or, you know, they have this and this and it's nicer than mine, don't do that. Like, you've come so far in your journey, and you've had emotional and mental benefits that are way more important than just a piece of flesh. So a piece of flesh that 20 years from now is going to be sagging 2 inches lower. So don't devalue the journey that you've had and the changes you've made and what you've earned in the work that you've put in. So that's going to be the big thing, is we have to consider, what do we have that they don't have? So don't think of what they have that you don't have. What do we have that they don't have? And often that's going to be important to look at. And we don't get to see that, because people only put on social media with the good things. They put the highlights. And now there is a little bit of a cultural phenomenon where people are kind of showing the bad things. Like, oh, here I am with no makeup on, or here I am in my kind of fat pose versus my, like, Instagram pose. I think that stuff's awesome when people do it for the honest reasons. So if they're trying to, quote, put up a, like, quote-unquote ugly picture, and they still look pretty, and they've still kind of fixed themselves, and they still have the right angle, they're negating the point of it. So the point of it is to show flaws. So show the damn flaws. Like, if that's what you're going to do, do it. Do it authentic. Do it real. So I think that's cool for people to see, and that's sometimes why, like, a lot of times when I train clients, I like to share all the stories that I've done of, like, things I did that were dumb and that were wrong. So I was talking with a personal trainer recently. He was worried about kind of being new to the industry, and they're worried about, like, their credibility and, you know, are they worthy enough to train other people? Do they really know enough to train other people? And I told him a story about one time I trained a neighborhood friend of mine, and we were working on arms, and I was showing him a preacher curl, which is your elbows are resting on kind of like an angled bench, and you do a bicep curl with a bar. Well, I don't know what in the hell I did, but I was talking to him, and when I curled the bar, I brought it up and smacked myself in the face. So I actually busted my lip and cut my lip open, and then I spent the entire rest of the time training him, shoving a paper towel up my mouth while trying to talk to them and give them tips. I looked like a buffoon. So, but it happens. Like, just shit happens. So bad luck. But you don't shut down. You just keep going. So the person laughed at that story, and we both hoped that it wouldn't happen to them. But it was good for them to see that, you know, you do make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. It's just you don't stop at the mistake. You learn the lesson. You move forward, and you just improve as you keep going. So that's the key. So when we think about social media, we think about what the others have that we don't have. Let's flip that to say, what do we have that they don't have? And if they do have things, what, like, do we really want what they have? Because what did they have to trade to get it? You know? So we want to think about the value of what we have and what you would have to give up if you wanted that other thing. So in life, you can't have it all. Life is not meant to be perfect. So you can't have all the money in the world, all the love in the world, all the fame in the world, all the friends in the world. You can't be simultaneously super busy that you get to look at, like, post awesome videos and pictures of you traveling over the world, but then also get to relax and not feel stressed. So things are always kind of trade-offs. You have to give a little bit of this to get a little bit of that. So if we think of kind of common trade-offs is love or money. And the difficult part of this is just think of, like, even just time invested into loved ones. So sometimes for us to make more money, we have to work longer hours. That means we have to spend less time around family and friends. And which trade-off do we want? Like, how much money is worth not seeing your kids? Or how much money is worth not seeing your spouse? Or, you know, how much time around your spouse is worth not having any money? So maybe you guys can't go out and do those elaborate dates or go on the big trips that you see other people do, but you get to see each other every day. You know, you get to wake up in bed together. You get to go to bed together. You get to see maybe your kids more. So you have to kind of define what value you want, what balance you want. So if you see somebody traveling all over the world, recognize that that comes with a cost, like financially, but also just life-wise, life stress and everything. So you have to decide, you know, which life would I want to live? And another thing that happens on social media is, like, followers versus friends. So this isn't friends of Facebook, but friends in real life. So I might have 10,000 followers, but I sit at home every night trying to come up with the perfect Instagram thing, but I never spend time with an actual human being. I never spend time with friends and laugh. so I don't have a social life. Sometimes the people who are living the happiest life have like no followers because they're spending their life living it, not posting shit on social media. Now, I'm not saying it's negative to post stuff, but it's absolutely true that there's a balance. So if you're pursuing followers on Instagram, but you have actual no friends, that's an imbalance. And you want to work towards balancing that out. Okay? So that's kind of the idea we have to think of is don't undervalue what we do have. Value what you have. Recognize the journey and the efforts that you've put into what you have. And recognize the value of that. Be grateful for it. So be happy about what you've done already. And then when you see something you don't have, think about the trade-off. Don't just think, man, it would be nice to have that car. Well, do you have the money? Do you want to work the amount of work that it would need to take the money? And then what about insurance costs? What about upkeep on that car? What about getting parts when it breaks down? So you have to think of the bigger picture. Sometimes things look nice on surface level. You know, the grass is always greener on the other side type thing. But it's not true whenever you get down to the nitty-gritty, real day-to-day details. So that's something to think of. Okay, so if you see something on social media and you're like, man, I wish I had that, think about the cost it would take to get it and then decide whether you'd really want it or not. And then also don't devalue your journey. So just because I see somebody squatting 800 pounds doesn't mean that I should think that my 600 pounds is meaningless. It absolutely isn't meaningless. There's a ton of value in that. So I have to just remind myself that. So that was what you would want to do, the same thing. Okay, now. Another little tip we can do for social media is to block or hide ourselves from triggers. So if you have something that every time you see it, man, it just makes you depressed, or it kicks off anger, kicks off jealousy, kicks off like feelings of inadequacy, avoid that stuff. So social media now has options to block friends on Facebook. So like you can unfollow people where you still kind of like, you still look like your friends, but you don't see any of their posts. So I would never, ever, ever do that to any of my friends, ever. But I have heard that it works. So if somebody's always posting Debbie Downer stuff, we'll block Debbie, okay? Unfollow Debbie. Unfriend Debbie. So just get Debbie out of your life, okay? So sorry to anybody listening to this named Debbie. But that's the idea. So out of sight, out of mind is sometimes something that helps. In the sense of like, you know, unfollowing somebody on social media, that like, what are you going to do? You can't get in their life and make them not a downer. So if all they're ever posting is like, you know, oh, you know, my, you know, car broke down today. Oh, it's just another day. Woe is me. So if they have that Eeyore mentality, you can't make them not Eeyore. So rather than seeing that every day, just block that. Get it out of your mind. Okay. So I remember there were somebody I had known at one time put like had kind of showed me pages that were related to like dating stuff, and it would just be somebody making a funny comment or something like this about like, you know, guys and girls, or you know, guy and guy or girl and girl dating. And I started realizing there was a pattern on this page, or a couple of the pages, is that it was really like the mindsets were really negative. It was like kind of using people. So they always talked about what you would get from this person or get from that person, or this person taking from you, this person taking from you. So there was always like these negative stuff. And I really didn't like it. There was things talking about like cheating every day. And it almost made like cheating feel like it was a normal occurrence, or that it was accepted, or that it was expected. And that's bullshit. So you should never, ever cheat in a relationship, ever. There's never excuses for that. And when it does happen, you would like man or woman up to it. And, you know, like, you got to handle your business. But that's a big event. That's a big thing that is not casual. So sometimes when we look at these things, it kind of, like that stuff in particular, it would make you think like cheating was normal, or that it was somewhat accessible, acceptable. That's bullshit. So, and there are people who see that every day. You know, that's kind of like the reality that they see. And therefore, they accept that as reality. And that's the reality that they live. I don't want that for my life. So I block that shit. So I want to preserve the behaviors and mannerisms that I believe to be correct for me. And I want to keep that around me. So there's that some like stuff we talk about like all the time here is like you are the sum of the five people you spend time with, or whatever is in your mind is what you'll express in action, all these kind of things. But what you do put in your mind every day will influence your beliefs. It'll influence your behavior. It influences what you expect from others, what you accept from others. So I didn't want that negativity in my mind. I hated that, and I'm sad that there's even things like that that exist, because it's putting into our culture just garbage. So sometimes blocking pages or unfollowing friends is an extremely helpful thing. So if you have a trigger that every time you see it, you're like, oh man, that's, you know, ugh, it kind of gives you a bad feeling. Well, block that stuff. Get away from that. Out of sight, out of mind. Okay? So that's what we can do with our kind of emotional responses to social media. Like a feeling inadequate or feeling jealous or being triggered towards negative behaviors is always remember the value of what you have. Be grateful for what you have. Remind yourself of how awesome it is to have what you have. If there's something that you want, make sure you recognize the full picture. What's the full cost of that? And are you willing to make trade-offs for what you have versus what you want? So the key is to find the balance of what you would want in your life. So decide for yourself, what do I want out of my life? And then make sure that's what you have in it. So put the actions towards that. And you can't do everything, you can't be everything. So you just have to accept, okay, you know, it might be cool to have X, but that means I have to give up Y. And I don't want to give up Y. I want to have Y in my life. So then you have to be okay with not having X. And you just make that decision, and then you go with that. You live with that decision. Now, what about wasting time? What about kind of like social media taking over our day, and we end up using, you know, spending like 4 hours looking at cat videos on Facebook? So that stuff does happen. It is common. So I have people tell me all the time that they don't have time for things like training, or they don't have time for eating well, like, you know, preparing foods or this or that. And they watch like freaking 4 hours of TV a day, or they're searching on, you know, Instagram bullshit for an hour a day. What the hell? Like, a workout takes 10 minutes. You tell me you don't have time to work out, you're full of shit. You are choosing not to work out. Okay? That's the truth of it. So if you spend 10 minutes on social media but you don't work out every day, then you are full of shit. So you can take those 10 minutes and work out. So we have body weight workouts that take 10 minutes to do. If you don't believe me, send me an email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. I'll send you the workouts. It has a link for all the exercises, has the structures. It tells you how to get really good workouts in with just your body weight for 10 minutes a day. Okay? So that's what we want to think of, is if we're wasting time, if we're spending time on social media in place of more important things, we need to control that. Now, this would be the same kind of rules and guidelines and thought processes towards controlling anything that's kind of a time consumer. So television, YouTube, even reading, believe it or not. So some of the nerdy clients that I've had in the past, you can all laugh at this, but I had somebody tell me that they didn't have time to work out, but yet I saw on social media that they stayed up for 4 hours reading a book. First of all, congratulations that you can read a book for 4 hours. That's actually awesome, and I'm impressed. However, that's still not a good thing in the sense that we missed our workout. So it's kind of funny that I have to yell at you to stop reading a book. That's great that you're reading a book, but you can't do that in place of working out or in place of eating well. So there's a trade-off there. So even if it's a good thing that takes up too much time, we still have to be careful of it, okay? So some of the guidelines we have that we all know, but we don't put into practice. So I'm just going to repeat the things that you've already heard. And guess what? You actually have to do the thing. So you have to put into practice what people tell you if you want to make a change. So if you want something to change, you have to change something. Okay? So if you want your behaviors around something to change, you have to physically change your behaviors. You can't just say, oh, I wish I'd spend less time on Facebook, and then spend all the same time on Facebook. Okay? So put some action to this. So one of the things you can do is set time parameters and stick to them. So I had a friend once, I don't know if they had an app on their phone, but somehow they measured the time that they spent on social media per day. And like at the end of the day, they've calculated it out, and it ended up being like, say, you know, 54 minutes, or like 45 minutes, or an hour and 10 minutes. But they calculated it out, and by the end of the day, they could see how much time they had spent on social media, and it was outstanding. I mean, it was crazy, more than what they would have expected. So they would have told somebody, like, verbatim, like, they would have told them in, like, pass the lie detector test, saying, oh, I just spent about 15 or 20 minutes a day. And here what it was 15 or 20 minutes three or four times. So their brain didn't register as 20 minutes. It registered as, like, 5 minutes. Something small and, you know, not that meaningful. But you do that a couple times a day, and that stuff adds up. So we want to set time parameters. Say, okay, I'm only going to look at social media, you know, maybe during my lunch hour between 12 and 1. And then I'm only going to look at it, you know, in the evenings between 7 and 8. You kind of set parameters, set like either total time per day, or you can set kind of only certain amount of times, like certain time frames per day. And you want to stick to them. So you want to set parameters to reduce a behavior you don't want, but you also have to kind of plug in a replacement behavior. Guess what that could be? Working out. So it could be something as easy as going for a walk. So something like you can also do trade-offs. So to where, like, I remember, like, you'd pair your social media usage with an activity. So for example, is every time you want to search social media, you maybe have to go for a walk. So, or like, the other day I was listening to a podcast, and I was doing push-ups while I was listening to the podcast. So I wanted to get a little bit of workout in, and I knew if I just sat there and listened to a 40-minute podcast, did nothing while I was doing the 40 minutes, it was helpful mentally, but it wasn't like the best use of my time. So I would just do push-ups while I was listening to the podcast. So I remember when I was younger, I used to play Madden football, and I was a perfectionist at that game, and I would try to win the games like 70 to nothing, and I would get super mad if the other team scored. So if it was some stupid glitch play where somebody fumbled and the ball bounced off like 14 players and somebody ran into the end zone, I'd be ticked. But I set up rules where every time I scored a touchdown, I had to do however many points I had in push-ups. So if I scored 7 points, I'd do 7 push-ups. If I scored another touchdown, I got 14, I'd have to do 14 push-ups. If I got 21, I'd have to do 21 push-ups. Well, really quickly, when you had somebody who's a perfectionist and they tried to win games 70 to nothing, I was doing a lot of freaking push-ups, and I'd switch it to sit-ups, and I laughed because at certain times I'd start to like throw a score. Like my running back would be able to run to the end zone, and all of a sudden I'd just step out of bounds because I didn't want to do any more push-ups. So it actually taught me a couple neat lessons in life. Was at that age, I forget how old I was, like 14, 15, 16, but I remember like the idea of winning 70 to nothing and being perfect at something that was easy to be perfect at, I started to recognize that that was bullshit. That I was just inflating my ego or trying to make myself feel better, but that wasn't a real challenge. That wasn't a real victory. So to set the game on an easy mode and then win 70 to nothing, that's not good. It would be better to try to win the game, you know, say 17 to 14 at the hardest of setting, or even lose a game, but only losing by 3 points instead of getting blown out. So it was interesting that at a very young age, I learned that easy challenges were bullshit. And I was just trying to make myself feel better, but I wasn't actually making myself better. I wasn't rising to a challenge. I was staying within what I was capable of at the moment. I wasn't pushing myself to something new. So now that's something we can do for wasting time, is set time parameters, either a total amount of time per day, or you can set times of the day. And you want to stick to them. Put something in the place. So if you have kind of the itch or the desire to look at social media, but it's not the right time, do something with that energy. Do push-ups, do sit-ups, go for a walk. You know, read a book. You can follow like the nerdy trend of reading books. So you can listen to a podcast. Whoa, hint, hint. So just anything like that. Just put something else in its place. To get better use of the time you do spend on social media, you can pair that with an activity. So like we said, go for a walk if you want to walk, like look at Instagram. So you can march in place, as dumb as that is. Just something that gets you moving, so that way you kind of pair a healthy behavior with an unhealthy behavior. And don't be afraid to be on social media. It's okay to have a balance of everything. So you don't have to eliminate it. You just have to balance it. Okay? So if you're having some stress over social media, hopefully this information helped a little bit in terms of giving you an idea of what you can do. So with the feelings of inadequacy or jealousy, is just don't lose sight of what you have. Don't lose sight of the value of what you have. And recognize that there's a trade-off for everything. If you want more of one thing, think through what the cost of that would be and decide if you really want to pay that cost. And that might help you feel better about only having what you have versus trying to conquer everything and have everything in the world. Okay? And for wasting time, set parameters. Try to do something instead of it when you're looking for, try to avoid it. And when you do it, try to pair it with something healthier. Cool. So that's kind of like it. So social media is another complication of life. But life is complicated. That is what life is. So we're surrounded by temptations and complications. We just have to learn how to deal with them and how to navigate them and find our balance with them. So don't try to avoid it. Don't try to run away from the problem. Tackle the problem, handle the problem, and learn how to live the best life while that problem is still there. So it's never going to go away. Just learn how to manage it. Cool. So if you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Brutal Iron Gym. Also, if you like the podcast, you can share it with family and friends, so please do. The more people we help, the happier the world will be. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we would love, 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 love to hear from you. So the podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. And you can reach us at our email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.